So thanks for talking to me about this. I have been following what's been going on at the Yarra Council, and it's quite disturbing to think that a Greens-dominated council should have such a bad relationship with their residents.
Yeah, we're pretty disappointed about that on the whole. The visuals from last Tuesday night with the separation between the executive councillors and the community was not a good look at all, and I think symbolic of what's going on at the moment.
What are the key issues? I mean, I know that they've actually put a whole range of things in place to try and reduce the amount of democratic interaction between the residents. Is it about unseemly developments? Is that what's going on?
No, this was broader than that. So the actual changes to community participation, there is a couple of good things in there, which is expanding the way that they are able to get feedback from the community. But what was most concerning to us is the limiting of community participation at meetings. So, for example, reducing community submissions from 5 minutes to 3 minutes. Or 2 minutes if there's more than 10 or more submissions. The other one which we've got a real issue with is requiring people to register 24 hours before to ask a question or make a submission on an item, which there's just no need to have that in place. So it seems to be something which is being put in place to limit the amount of time which the community gets at these meetings and just make it harder to participate, whereas we should be making it easier to participate and giving people the time that they need to make the points that they do on items that affect them.
Why did they start doing this?
I can't speak for them and why they've started doing this, but there seems to have been a trend over the last 18 to 24 months, which is one of pushing things into secret meetings, so not necessarily discussing them at council meetings, discussing them internally, having more decisions. So, for example, the planning changes that were made earlier this year is pushing more of the planning decisions and changes into the internal bureaucracy rather than having them at council meetings or what's called the Planning Decisions Committee. So there's been this overall trend to pushing things out of council meetings, which are very public, very transparent, everyone can see what's happening, to where they're happening more and more behind doors.
And when did the Residents Action Collective begin?
The Yarra Residents Collective. So we started in 2020. It was out of myself and a friend of mine started that. It started in relation to some very local issues which we were having. We thought, you know what, there's probably other people in our area who, in our position, didn't quite know who to go to. It was our first time certainly presenting at council meetings. We'd never been involved in council before, so we started the Yarra Residents Collective, and then out of that, over the last 2 years, it's just grown out of sight. As we were saying recently to a group of people, it's really one of those things where it's not necessarily whether somebody agrees with us or not, but the people that have interacted with us, it's been a group which they know they can come to when they've got a local issue on their street or something that matters to them, and they're not necessarily getting the local support from council that they need.
I know that there's been issues around charges around rubbish collection and issues around developments that local residents have been unhappy with, that sort of thing. Are there any issues that are particularly stand out?
Lots. Things around rubbish charges and collections. I think there's an underlying theme behind all of this, which is there's what feels like an overall reduction in the service from council. So, for example, reducing the recycling from weekly to fortnightly, for example, was hugely unpopular. Meanwhile, people are also screaming out and saying, hey, where's our green waste collections? In fact, people who previously had green waste bins, actually, some of them have had them removed. So people saying, hang on, we're trying to do the right thing, but you're actually halving the amount that we can collect recycling. And then at the same time, the idea of this bin tax seems to rear its ugly head every couple of years. There's also something else which I'd highlight is there's also this trend in council at the moment to refer to what every other council does, like we're some outer suburban council, without any reference to the fact that we already pay some of the highest rate, or our ratepayers already pay some of the highest rates in Victoria. Not to mention we take a huge amount of fees from rates such as user fees, charges. They include things such as pet registrations, parking, of course, as well as other things. Not to mention the recent furore around the increases in the leisure centre fees for the elderly and for families with kids going to swimming lessons.
Oh, goodness. Is this something to do with the change in the composition of the population in Yarra? Because, I mean, Yarra has always been a very progressive council.
In our discussion with councillors, I'm not sure it's been a change in the composition of the population of Yarra, but there's certainly been a change in the composition of the council. The recent Green set that have been elected seem to be very different from the previous ones that have been elected to council. As well as that, not having the mix which we've had in the past has led to this idea of we're going to tell you what's good for you without community consultation, or the community consultation becomes a tick in the box. So I don't think the composition of Yarra has changed so much, but I think the attention through a number of what we think are relatively poor decisions has certainly drawn the focus on this council more than any other.
Is it a personality issue or is it a ideological issue?
I think it comes down to an ideological one rather than something which is personality based. You mentioned before around developments and how that might be affect certain decisions on council. I think there's also an element of ideology and this is a very academic view of the world, which is very disconnected from the local residents in their streets and what their day-to-day challenges are. So there's a lot of things which are written and said by bureaucrats behind the scenes, and it comes out and says, well, this is what this report says from people that have never lived in the area. We know better than the local residents that live there. Whereas that didn't happen so much in the past. There was more listening to local residents, but at the moment, it's certainly this, no, the local residents are wrong. We're going to tell them what's good for them. And of course, that's led to a whole heap of conflict, which is unnecessary.
I mean, I if you bring up something like the Collingwood community gardens, that is an example of, it's not so that the council was behind that at all, but that was a whole process of an overlay of academic belief structures undermining a whole community effort that was 40 years in the making. Is there something in the air around commercialising community or something of that nature?
I think even though the stakeholders are very different, because state government had a lot more to play in the community gardens issue, I think the same underlying principles are at play at a council level. So I think there is, look, the commercialisation of council services, I think, is a valid one. Also, don't forget that this is a council which is utterly broke. So it's out of money and they need to figure out a way to fix their financial situation relatively quickly. But the way they're going about it is sort of quick fixes, which is, hey, we'll jack up the rates on the community on this service or that service in light of the fact that they can't just increase rates. But to your point, this idea of you've got a bureaucrat sitting in the background that does the academic bit on paper that says, well, this makes sense. You kind of can't do that in these very tight-knit local communities, when the tight-knit local communities are sitting there and saying, well, hang on, we're the ones that use that service. You've only got to look at what at what other councils do, and it was supposedly on the agenda for Yarran, was pulled around the outsourcing of the aged care services. That's another great example where all these councils are looking at outsourcing the aged care services, and as I said, was on the agenda for Yarra. And you can't go and do that without a great deal of thought and planning, because otherwise you're going to get pretty bad outcomes, as we've seen elsewhere. Looks great on paper, doing it in practice doesn't always look so great.
Yeah, the conflict between a service that should be utterly local as opposed to one that should be neoliberally gutted.
Yeah, correct. And you can talk to, across the political spectrum, you can talk to the most sort of right-wing liberal, and most of them will acknowledge and sit there and say, hey, even though we think economic rationalism and should be use of haze and all that, there are certain things that you've got to be very careful about. It's a bit like touching Medicare, for example. Everyone acknowledges that it's a good thing, and you wouldn't go and make drastic changes to that all of a sudden. I think the aged care example very much fits into that one, where it's a bit of a silly one just because the federal government changed their funding model, that all of a sudden the councils just sit there and go, oh, we want to be rid of this service, so we'll just outsource it, which we know from some of the councils in the eastern suburbs and down towards Frankston that it's been a huge issue.
Yeah. So they've taken this quite undemocratic approach to fending off their Bolshie residents. And considering that local governments are actually at the pleasure of the state government and the federal government, they don't have any genuine legislative existence, as was proven by previous premier. it's this battle that's going on locally. Where's it going to go from here?
Look, we're not the only one with this problem. We've been speaking to residents in Darabin recently. One thing which I would say is the Greens-led councils have taken a particularly militant approach to these problems. Darabin have seen that on a number of recent issues where the residents have come second to the political agendas. One thing which I will highlight is we really do need local community representatives on council who will represent the community. When we've got politically led representatives who are using it as a career stepping stone, we're not getting the best outcomes. So I think if we had local representatives that truly did represent the community first rather than their own agendas, that would help. In terms of your question of where's it heading, can't predict that exactly, but you've only got to look at local government all across Victoria at the moment, and the councils like Yarra are having similar issues, although within Yarra those issues are supercharged with the way that they're going at the moment.
Well, the thing about Yarra is that it's a cornucopia or a gold for developers, really, isn't it?
They certainly do seem to get the preference at the moment. The fact that only in February the current set of councillors voted to make it harder for residents to object to large developments, and now a number of items can go through if they don't hit a certain threshold, and those thresholds have been increased. The trend recently has certainly been relatively developer friendly, and we also know through talking to a number of local residents groups, and we were talking to one last night, where the local councillors are some of the local councillors are pushing them to make compromises which they wouldn't otherwise, and say, oh, well, you just need to agree so that we can get an agreement with the developer and go through without having to have these battles. So the residents are certainly feeling like the current council is trying to push these through and isn't necessarily representing the resident interest in this case, and the developers are benefiting out of that.
When is the next council election?
It's 2 years away at the moment, so we're about halfway through the current term.
Oh, a bit of a way to go. But quite clearly, local residents are ramping up to make it clear to the council that they are there's a problem here.
Clearly, I mean, we've not seen an increase in the participation of the Our Residents Collective recently like this before. The other groups are seeing a similar sort of sentiment. I think people are waking up to what's going on and the fact that their own local interests aren't being represented first. And I think even though we're 2 years out, I think fundamentally the way of addressing this is you've got to make the elected representatives accountable. And the only way of doing that is with votes.
How did the council get so broke? Do you know?
It's probably a longer story than just this. It's been a long history of issues, and I think there's been a number of band-aids over the issues. So the council had a huge reliance on grants up until now, which aren't necessarily as forthcoming. So it would be a year-to-year proposition of fill the shortfall, and they can no longer just do that. So rather than making the structural changes they needed to gradually over the last 10 or 15 years, it's all of a sudden come to a, now that the band-aids are being ripped off, it's all of a sudden coming on, oh, this issue is actually quite a large one.
I mean, they can divert the issue to a fight over reducing local citizens' involvement in council, but it doesn't take away the fact that they're not representing people, the local interests.
Yeah, and look, that's what our interests really are, is saying, hey, these councils really need to go back to representing their local residents, and particularly Yarra, which we don't think is very good at. And they need to go back to representing the local resident in any interest first, rather than having staff that don't even necessarily live in the electorate sitting there and saying, well, this is what we think is best. Go back to being truly representative, look after the local libraries, look after local facilities, make sure we're delivering good leisure services to users at a reasonable price. We've got Yarra is possibly the most diverse local government area in Melbourne, and we need to cater to that.
Oh, right. So what's your next move? What are you guys going to do next?
Look, we continue to do what we've always done, which is, number one, shine a light on the issues. So, but as well as that, anyone that's got a local issue and is struggling away and on their street or in their local area, it's somewhere where they can come and get some help and find like-minded residents who have had issues battling against council. We've had everything from noise issues all the way up to council-wide issues such as the bins, where we provide support for each other and provide assistance in doing that, whereas their local councillors might not have been necessarily as supportive as they'd hoped. So we'll just continue doing that.
Yeah, I just find it incredible that they are branded as green councillors, and they obviously have different views about what that means. And the people who voted them in obviously had a completely different view about what that means.
Well, from our perspective, we think that what happens is that they don't get voted in on their own individual reputation, but they've been voted in on the party ticket, thinking that they represent one thing. And the one bit of feedback which we do get, much in line with what you've just said, is we voted for these guys thinking that we're getting a very progressive, possibly less leaning council, but this is nothing like that. What we're actually getting is, in many ways, very neoliberal, but more than that, it's not actually representing what we thought we were voting in.
Mm. And I mean, there's a couple of socialist councillors who must be feeling quite lonely.
Yeah, look, in general, we don't necessarily agree with, I think you're referring to Stephen Jolly and Bridget O'Brien there. We don't necessarily agree with everything which they do, but fundamentally, the one thing which you can't argue is that they do actually represent the local community. They're the ones that are sitting there fighting. You've only got to go and look at any of the recent votes. Those two councils are the ones that are generally fighting against and voting against these really bad ideas. They're voting against the reduction in participation. So might not be perfect, but I don't think anyone could argue that they're not actually community-led and driven.
Yeah. Thanks for talking to me.
No worries at all.